turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And very familiar verse of Scripture, and I'm going to read this, and then I want to talk to you about following the Apostle Paul. And you know, people say, well, you make too much of Paul. And I've talked to people about right division. They said, well, I believe in following Christ. Well, I do too. But how do you follow Christ? I mean, Robbie was talking about the children of Israel today. How was they to follow the Lord? Moses. And over, somewhere around 300 times, Moses talked to the children of Israel, and he tells them to keep the statutes, keep the commandments that I have delivered unto you. And the only way that they could approach the Lord and follow the Lord was through Moses. How would you follow Jesus Christ? People say, well, I believe in following Jesus. Well, the only way you know anything about Jesus is through this book. The only way you know anything about God is through this book. And this book has four books wrote about the life of Christ. When they talk about following Jesus, and they get mad and say, well, you believe in following Paul, I believe in following Jesus, they're talking about following the earthly ministry of Jesus, and you hear them say, well, I want to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Well, you can't walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Jesus Christ was made of a woman made under the law to redeem them that are under the law. You're not under the law. Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 8 tells a man to go offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded him to offer. Well, you can't offer blood sacrifices today. So I want you to look in 1 Corinthians, and I believe everybody here, if I would go around and ask and say, do you want to follow the Lord? You'd say, well, sure I do. Well, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians and notice in verse chapter 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. Now the ordinances would involve some of the things that he took around to the churches in Acts 15. And yet I look at this thing also, there are some things, doctrines, that he delivered that we're to keep. Come back to chapter 4 in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Turn over to Philippians and look in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. All right, in Philippians chapter 3, notice in verse 17. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. Turn over to 2 Timothy and look in 2 Timothy. Now, I want you to notice what he says there in verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. What's that first word? Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to the gospel. Did I change a word? Well, it's just a little word. It's just one word. No, it's according to my gospel. Then God's Son delivered to the Apostle Paul a gospel. Now, the word gospel means good news. And he says, consider what I say. Remember that Jesus Christ was raised again according to my gospel. Be ye followers of me. Then you can't miss this thing. If you want to follow the Lord and believe the right message, you got to believe the message that was delivered to the Apostle Paul, and you've got to keep the books, the doctrines, and follow the Lord through the writings of the Apostle Paul. Now, we don't follow Paul's ministry. And I want to show you that, and that's basically what I want to talk to you about. We follow his revelation. Look in Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. Galatians 1:11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel, and that be the what he calls my gospel, which was preached to me, is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, and you could say of man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ revealed to the Apostle Paul the gospel that he called my gospel, and it has to do with the mystery of Christ. And that mystery of Christ was that Jesus Christ, God's Son, went to the cross and died for all of your sins and was buried, and God raised him the third day for your justification. That is good news to everyone that's sitting in this building. Why is it good news? Then I don't have to worry about the sin problem. I don't have to worry about God rejecting me because of sin. Why? His Son paid the penalty for my sins. His Son died for my sins. And there's no reason why anybody that's in this service right now ought to leave out of here lost without Jesus Christ. Why? Because the work has been done, and all you've got to do is believe it and receive it. And you can be saved. You don't have to. We don't have to get up here and play Just As I Am without one plea. And we don't have to sing 15 standards of that song and beg and plead and do all that to get you to walk down the aisle and come down here. God Almighty will save you where you're sitting right now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's good news. Now let's look at some things about Paul. First of all, I want to say Paul never followed the earthly ministry of Christ. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, notice in verse, I'm just going to, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more after the flesh. You could add that. Paul did not follow the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not do, as Peter says, walk in his footsteps. And neither can you. He said, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Now, we don't follow his life, so to speak. We follow his revelation. And so we come up there, we put the same timeline, whatever, Jesus Christ, back here, he died. He goes to the cross. And on that cross, God makes him to be sin. Who knew no sin? Every sin that has ever been committed or could possibly ever be committed, Jesus Christ became that sin. And so the Bible says the transgression of the law is sin. He lived a perfect life. He was born of a virgin. There was no guile found in his mouth. Jesus Christ never committed sin, and yet the law put him to death. The wages of sin is death. So I know he's not dying for his sin. He's not dying because he was bad. He's dying because you're bad, and the only way to get you to where he's at is your sin had to be paid for by a perfect sacrifice, and you're not perfect. And there's no way to approach him. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And that man Christ Jesus went to that cross. He died for your sins, and bless your soul, he died for all of your sins. If he died for one of them, he died for all of them. You say, what about those that I'm going to commit next week or next year? He died for all of them. And every one of your sins was in the future. I don't guess there's anybody alive today that was back there here. So your sins has been took care of. Your sins is not the problem. Your sins has been removed. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing unto them. God is not imputing your trespasses unto you. He imputed them to his Son. And the barrier that separated you from God was your sin. That's been removed. And as far as God's concerned, the way he's open through his Son, be ye reconciled. And accept the atonement that brought about the reconciliation. Receive it. Now look at this thing. So I go over here. I have Matthew, and I have it through John, the earthly ministry of Christ. You find it, the Bible said he came to his own received him not. They said, we'll not have this man to rule over us. Crucify him, crucify him. Back here, he was under, he told people to keep the law. In fact, look in Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew 23, notice in verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Well, a seat was the authority. In other words, after Moses died, the scribes and the Pharisees, they dealt with the law. It was the seat of the law. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. Did he tell them to observe and do what they told you to observe and do? But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. They don't do what they preach, but you, whatever they preach, you do it. Why? Because they're preaching you Moses. He's telling them to keep the law. Jesus Christ, you can't live under that. Turn back to Matthew. Look at you're in Matthew. Turn to chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of the commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, how in the world are they going to do that? Turn back to Deuteronomy and look in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. You know what their righteousness was? Deuteronomy chapter 6, notice verse 25. Or let's go to verse 24. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord, our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it, the statutes, shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Turn over and look in chapter 27. Chapter 27. Now look at the opposite of this thing. Verse 26, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, Amen. If you didn't do it, what will happen? It was cursed. If you did do it, you're righteous. The righteousness of the law. And if you didn't broke one, you'd offer the right sacrifice. And that was to atone you. Folks, I'm trying to get you to understand Jesus Christ lived under that law. He walked under that law. And we're not just talking about the Ten Commandments. They were dietary laws. They were statutes and commandments. There was over 600 of them. And there's no way there ain't nobody in here keeping. Look about what he says. Notice in verse 22 back in Matthew. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Well, that ain't us. I read where Paul's called a fool. You ever read that? Look over in 1 Corinthians. You know, notice in verse 35, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35. 1 Corinthians 15, 35, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou what? Huh? They called him a fool, didn't they? Paul in danger of hellfire? I mean, folks, there's no way that you can follow the earthly minister of Christ. Now look at this thing. We don't follow Paul's life. We follow his revelation. All right, let's look at his life. Turn to the book of Acts. Look in Acts chapter 13. Well, let's go to Acts 9. That's the beginning. So I come over here and I got Matthew here, the life of Christ. He dies on the cross, he's buried, and the third day he arises. I have the book of Acts, and Acts is the Acts of the Apostles, the deeds of the Apostles. That's what they are. In Acts chapter 9, the Lord appears to the Apostle Paul and changes his name from Saul to Paul. And so I have here he writes, and in this time period he writes Romans through Philemon. And in this period right here, God is doing something that was a mystery. And it had to do with the body of believers. And we call it the dispensation of grace. And in this body, it's the body of Christ. And if you're trusted Christ as your Savior, you're in that body. One of these days, this body's going to be took out. When that body's complete, we're gone. I have here the tribulation. I have a man of sin going to come. I have 3.5 years on this side. I have 3.5 years on this side. And this is called the time of Jacob's trouble. We call it the tribulation period. It's the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy, and you read about it in Daniel chapter 9. And the Antichrist, y'all have heard about that, is going to come on the scene, and he's going to seek to change times and laws, and he's going to be the world leader. The world's going to be in chaos, about like it is now. And everything's just getting ready. The furniture's being moved into place, and the curtain is fixing to go up, and you're going to see the last events of the day. Listen, folks, the wrath of God's coming on this world. You can bank on that. God said it was coming, and it's a coming. Whether the world believes it or not, it's a coming. Whether you believe it or not, it's a coming. Just like it did in the days of Noah. You know what? The Bible said that Noah condemned the world. Do you know how he condemned the world? He believed God started building the ark, preparing the ark for the saving of his household, and that was a testimony that they're condemned because they wouldn't do it. You know, somebody stands up and says, "Praise God, the Lord saved me by the death of his son," and somebody rejects Jesus Christ, that testimony condemns them. The message condemns us to share the wrath of God's coming on this world. The storm clouds is aboard, and it's going to be a time of darkness. It's going to be a time of stress. Jesus said that men's hearts would fail them for fear of looking upon the things that's coming on this earth. Isaiah says that the Lord's going to shake this earth. He's going to shake it like you would the bush, like I could grab that flower there and just shake it. And that's what God's going to do to this world. It's a coming. While he scooped out the seas with his hands, he's God Almighty. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He gave his son to die on the cross for you and pay for your sins. He wants you to where he's at, but you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he'll stick you in the bottom of hell and laugh at you while you're flying like a ball of sausage. He's God. All of this world, they mock and they make fun of him. Well, I'll tell you who's going to have the last laugh. Psalm 2 says the Lord's going to sit in the heavens and laugh at their calamity. He's going to have the nations in derision. Jerusalem at that time over here is going to be like a cup of trembling to the nations. That nations don't know what to do with that nation over there. But God has already told what he's going to do to them. He's going to send this man of sin. The Bible calls him the Assyrian. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5. The Bible says he's the rod in my hand. He's going to beat Israel, bring them in the back unto him. Then at the close of the 7 years, he's coming back over here in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that did not obey the truth. Some of you sitting in here, if the Lord would come right now, you'd be left behind. You'd go through this time period. You'd be a nervous wreck. And then Jesus Christ shows up over here in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them, and with his mighty angels coming down on this earth, and he's going to destroy the Antichrist. He's going to take all the demons and the devil, and he's going to bind them up and put them in the bottomless pit. And then he's going to set up a throne and rule for 1,000 years. Now listen to me, Hebrews. Through Revelation is concerning this time period there. It's not to you as a member of the body of Christ. You lose your salvation in here. You can't lose your salvation today. All this crowd running around here. But they don't know what the cross is. They never seen the cross. Tell me something. What one thing could get you lost? Say, sin. What sin? Well, you go out and you kill, you believe you go out and kill somebody. You believe you go out and rob a bank. What one sin can get you lost again after you're saved? All right, let's say thieving. I say robbing. Go steal something. That's a sin. Sure. All right, I go out and I steal something. Let's just narrow it down a little bit better. How about bearing false witness? That's a commandment, isn't it? Did he not say, thou shalt not bear false witness? Saying something is wrong? We don't. Well, let's narrow it down just a little bit further to the tenth one. Thou shalt not covet. That bite gets us all, don't it? Now, James said, if you break one of the commandments, you're guilty of them all. Okay? Did Jesus Christ die for your covetousness? Then is that covetousness paid for? Come on, folks, is it? You say, well, that just gives me a right to go out and covet myself. No, it don't. You preach a license to sin. No, I don't. If you love the Lord and you're grateful for what He did for you, you'd want to live a life that was pleasing unto Him. And every commandment in Jesus, the Ten Commandments, and every one but one is in Paul's epistle. What the one today? Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. You know why Paul didn't cover it? Because it's not, you don't have a Sabbath as a Gentile. The Sabbath was a covenant to Israel. Now, Baal's day is holy to them. They call it the Lord's day, Baal's day, Sunday. All right, let's don't get into that. Romans through Philemon. So I'm going to follow the Lord. These people's got to endure to the end. They start out over here. They got to endure to the end. Why? Their day of atonement is at the second coming of Christ. You see, it's like the high priest takes the blood and goes in behind the veil, and he offers the blood on the mercy seat and off the altar. And he's got a robe on, and he's got a pomegranate and a veil on the hem of that robe down there. And when he moves, you'd hear hitting the bell, and you'd hear the bells, and he's in there working. He's offering the blood, and he's offering the blood. They don't know if that blood's been accepted by God until he comes from behind the veil and appears again. Then they know the sacrifice has been cleared. Jesus Christ died in AD 33. He went back to the Father, and he's coming back over here. And when they see him, they're going to see him as their high priest, and they're going to know the sacrifice was complete, and they're going to realize that's when their sins will be turned away with at the second coming of Christ. But you've already been atoned for. Look in Romans. I'm going to get to Acts, but look in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now watch it. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom ye have now received the atonement. You've now received the atonement. You look back to the cross, and you realize that he died for my sins. He paid for all of my sins. He was the one that is the sacrifice. And I receive his atonement. I receive his sacrifice. And by the shedding of his blood, I have redemption. I'm saved by grace without me doing anything. But Israel, they got to wait and get through over here. Why? This is their day of atonement. Turn with me to Zechariah. Look and go to Matthew and turn left. And you'll cross Malachi Street and you'll come right on into Zechariah. It runs right into Zechariah. Matthew, two books. Look in Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah 13, verse 1, in that day, right here, this day over here, second coming of Christ, this day, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. That's when he's going to come down, put them in the bottomless pit down here, and everything's going to clean out the land. But in that day there shall be a fountain open to the both houses of Israel. In that day is their day of atonement. Turn with me to Romans and look in Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, verse 25. In Romans 11, 25. Notice he said, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel under the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." When do they get their sins took away? When the deliverer comes out of Zion. Second coming of Christ. It's their day of atonement. But you've already received the atonement. We follow Paul's revelation, not his life. Now quickly, back in Acts, look in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, Paul gets saved. Acts 9, he changes his name to all. These guys is going to the new nation in here, the little flock. And that new nation, they have been born again. That's right. And Peter writes and says they were born again. The nation. It's national. Now notice in Acts chapter 9, Paul gets saved. And he gets his sight, verse 20, and straightway he preached Christ where? In the synagogue that he is the Son of God. And all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength, confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. So he's preaching Christ in the synagogue. Turn over to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Notice in Acts chapter 13, in verse 5, a reference to Paul and them. He said in verse 2 that they separate Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Verse 5, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their ministry. Look in verse 16. Paul, verse 15, after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, beckoning with his hand, said, men of Israel, ye that fear God, give audience. Who is he at? Are they two different people in there? There's the men of Israel, and who else? Ye that fear God. Verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you. Now who's he talking to? Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham. Who is that? Israel. And whosoever among you, then somebody was among them, wasn't he? Among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Look in verse, so I don't have time to cover it all. Verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogues, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Then I know that there are Gentiles in the synagogue and there are Gentile proselytes in there that feared God, and the only way they could get to God was through the nation Israel. Are y'all with me? Now, an idol worship, a Gentile that were like the Ephesians, they couldn't get in the synagogue. Don't you remember what happened to Paul when they just thought he took one into the temple? They went down there like they killed him. Two groups. Why is this? Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew, what? First. And also to the Greek. Paul's life, we don't follow. What is his life? Well, his ministry, his earthly ministry in Acts, his early ministry, he's going to the Jew first. He's going into the synagogue. He's preaching to the people in there, to Israel, and those that feared God and worked righteousness like Cornelius. that gave alms to the people, that blessed the seed of Abraham. And that's why they got in there. They believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They believed that the Jews had the real God. And they submitted to circumcision, became proselytes, and went into the synagogues with them. And Paul, in his early ministry, is going into the synagogues preaching Christ. And you know what he's preaching? He's preaching that gospel. Well, as sure as you're sitting here, he is. Let's try this thing again. Oh, by the way, you'll notice now verse 44 in Acts 13, the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. You say, well, Paul was going to the Jew first in his early ministry. Jew first. Well, you don't go to the Jew first today, do you? There's no difference today. Paul did certain things because he was going to the Jew first and he didn't want to offend the Jews. Notice this thing. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter, let me get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I believe it is. It was a dispensation of the gospel committed unto him. But not only that, look in 1 Corinthians 9, he said verse 17. Or verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for of necessity it is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. And that dispensation of the gospel started back here, and it runs all the way over through the rapture. It's the same gospel, folks. It's that Christ died for your sins according to the Scripture and that was buried and God raised him again the third day. And that dispensation of the gospel, it covers from the time that Paul got it from the Lord by revelation, Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, until the rapture of the church taken out over here. It's the only gospel whereby men can be saved in this dispensation. And then you can't get to the Lord any other way. But Paul's going to the Jew first with it. And in his earthly ministry, he did certain things in order to win the Jews. He said, I become all things to all men. To the Jew, I became the Jew. To those that are under the law is one under the law. To those that are not under the law is one not under the law. I hope y'all see this, because Lord willing, we're going to continue it, and I'm going to hammer it again next Sunday. Do you do? I hear people say, well, you don't believe in water baptism. I believe in water baptism. I just don't believe that we need it today. I believe that if you trust Christ, you are baptized. It's one baptism here. I think water had to do with the nation Israel getting into the water of purification. It was a ceremonial act that they followed Christ physically. You're spiritually saved, and if you're in Christ, you've been baptized spiritually by the Spirit of God. What do you need water for? What in the world could water do more than what the Spirit's already done for you? And who ever heard tell of anybody being buried in water anyway? Well, it's the watery grave. Well, it shows forth the death, the burial, resurrection. It shows forth that we've died and we've been raised with Christ. It's a testimony. Well, why do they do it just one time? And why don't you get up every Sunday and say, "Preacher, I'd like to give my testimony. You got the water?" I tell you why. It's a bunch of garbage. Controlling people. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I hear people say, "Well, you don't believe in water baptism?" Paul baptized. Yeah, Paul circumcised a young man named Timothy in Acts 16. Paul spoke in tongues more than the Corinthians, and that had to be a lot. He said he did. And Paul raised some people up, raised a dead man up. Why don't you do that? We don't follow his life. We follow his revelation. Well, we'll get into that next week. I'm going to let you go.